All right, welcome back everyone for another deep dive. Now, I know we have a lot of med students listening, and I'm pretty sure you guys are going to love this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, today we're talking about something you're definitely going to see in your practice. Sinusitis.
The joys of the human nose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And don't worry, we're not going to make you wade through pages and pages of textbooks. We've gone ahead and done the hard work for you, pulled out all the key info from some top medical texts.
Perfect for exam prep, right?
Absolutely. Or just a quick refresher. And trust me, we've got some really interesting stuff to cover. We'll even be talking about something called double sickening, which I'll admit I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, but it's an important concept to understand.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. Can you give us a clear definition of sinusitis?
Sure. At its core, sinusitis is simply inflammation of the mucous membranes that line the paranasal sinuses.
Okay, sounds pretty straightforward, but I remember learning in med school that sinuses are usually sterile. What's the clinical significance of that?
Well, because those sinuses are normally sterile, the microbiome there is very delicate. So when a pathogen does manage to get in, it can really take hold and cause problems.
That makes sense. So we've got this vulnerable environment just waiting to be attacked.
Right.
What are the most common culprits behind acute sinusitis? The usual suspects, I guess you could say.
Yeah, good analogy. Well, the big three we see most often are Streptococcus pneumonia.
Classic.
Haemophilus influenza.
Oh,
and let's not forget rhinoviruses.
Ah, yes, the common cold.
Exactly, which, as you know, accounts for the vast majority of upper respiratory infections.
Okay, so those are our bad guys.
Yeah.
But what makes some people more susceptible to sinusitis than others?
Well, there are a bunch of things that can increase your risk, and we call those predisposing factors.
Like having a stuffy nose all the time.
Exactly. Things like nasal obstruction, a deviated septum, or nasal polyps, for instance, can make it harder for the sinuses to drain properly.
I bet those nasal polyps are no fun.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And then you have recent local infections.
Like if you've just gotten over a cold or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or even something like a dental extraction. These can set the stage for bacteria to invade the sinuses.
Makes sense. And of course, there are the lifestyle factors.
You mean like smoking?
Exactly.
Yeah, smoking's a big one. It damages the cilia in the respiratory tract, those little hair-like structures that help sweep away mucus and debris.
And that makes you more vulnerable to infection, right?
Right.
Because the gunk just sits there.
Right. It messes up that natural cleaning system. So smokers are much more prone to developing sinusitis.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've talked about what causes sinusitis and who's at risk. Let's move on to the clinical presentation. What are we actually going to see when a patient with sinusitis walks into the clinic?
Well, the most common symptom is facial pain.
I can imagine.
Especially that feeling of pressure in the forehead, which tends to worsen when you bend forward.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all experienced that at some point.
Definitely. You also often see nasal discharge, which is usually thick and purulent.
As opposed to the clear, watery discharge you might see with allergies.
Right, exactly. It's important to differentiate between those. And then, of course, there's the nasal obstruction we talked about earlier, which can also be a symptom. But hey, before we move on to management.
We're in a double sickening thing.
Exactly. Let's talk about that for a minute.
What exactly does that mean?
So imagine a patient comes in with viral sinusitis. They're feeling pretty miserable already. But then their symptoms suddenly get worse.
Like a 1-2 punch.
That's a great way to put it. That second punch is often a secondary bacterial infection on top of the initial viral infection, hence double sickening.
Oh, wow. That sounds rough. How do you know if it's just the viral infection lingering or if it's actually this double sickening?
It can be tricky, but we look at things like the duration and severity of symptoms, the patient's history, and whether they had any improvement followed by a sudden worsening.
So basically, really thorough patient history and careful observation.
Absolutely. Those are key.
Okay, so let's say we've got a patient in the clinic. We made the diagnosis of sinusitis. What's our plan of attack? How are we going to help this person feel better?
Well, like with most things, we start with the basics. Analgesia for pain relief.
Keep them comfortable. Makes sense.
Then there are intranasal decongestants and nasal saline, which are often used. But honestly, the evidence for those is a little iffy.
Yeah, I've heard that. Some people say nasal saline's only minimally effective, if at all.
That's right. It can offer some temporary relief because it helps rinse out the nasal passages.
Right.
But it probably doesn't do much for the underlying inflammation. So it's important to be aware of the evidence, even for seemingly simple things like nasal saline.
Great point. We always want to practice evidence-based medicine, right? Okay, what about intranasal corticosteroids? Do they have a role in treating sinusitis?
Yeah, they can be considered for cases that last longer than 10 days.
Is that because the longer it goes on, the more likely a bacterial infection is involved?
Exactly. We often see that shift from viral to bacterial infection around the 10-day mark.
That's good to keep in mind. Speaking of bacterial infections, when do we need to bring out the big guns, the antibiotics?
It's important to remember that antibiotics are not the first-line treatment for every case of sinusitis.
So it's not just a simple sinusitis equals antibiotics kind of situation.
Not at all. We only use oral antibiotics for more severe presentations.
What would that look like?
Well, things like high fever, significant facial swelling, or signs of potential complications like orbital involvement.
Okay, so the cases where you're really worried.
Exactly. And even then, we have specific guidelines to follow.
You mean what the BNF recommends?
Right. Our first-line agent is usually phenoxymethyl penicillin. But if the patient is really unwell or at high risk of complications,
or you suspect a more serious infection.
Exactly. Then we'd switch to co-amoxiclav.
Okay, that's good to know. So let's do a quick recap for our med student listeners. We've covered the definition of sinusitis, the most common causes, how it presents clinically, and, of course, how to manage it effectively.
That's a great summary. But remember, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole lot more to learn about sinusitis.
Totally. So keep studying. Keep asking questions. Now, for all our listeners out there, here's a little something to think about. How could a deeper understanding of the mechanisms behind sinusitis lead to new treatments or even ways to prevent it altogether? Join us next time for another deep dive. We'll be exploring topic of next episode. See you then.
Bye, everyone.